Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And if you've been listening already, that makes you a highly intelligent individual. Thank you for that. And I know you like knowing that. And if you just tuned in, that's what you got to look forward to. And one of the reasons why you've got to look forward to becoming a lot smarter is because of our guest this half hour, Peter Meyer, one of the smartest human beings I've ever met. Peter is the founder of the Meyer Group, and which is an outstanding organization that helps companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace. He's the author of two of my favorite books on the planet, Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating New Markets, and he's our good friend. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure. And Peter, I want you to know, I may have told you this before, but I quote, and I either say the name of your book, Creating and Dominating New Markets, or I quote something from it every week, either on the show or when I'm speaking to people. That book, and even just the title, and what I know about that book, and the concept of book, the philosophy of that book, I think it's safe to say that it had a significant impact on how I think about small businesses in the marketplace. And for that, I want to thank you.
Well, thank you very much. So flattery will get you anything you want. What do you
want? Well, I'm serious. I mean, one of the things you've done such a wonderful job, and folks, we're not going to talk about this specifically today, but I just don't want to miss this opportunity. Folks, go back and listen to some of the interviews that Peter and I have done. He's got an incredible cachet of archives of past shows that he and I have done together. Go back and look at some of the ones. Read the title, read the topics, listen to any of them, but read the narrative that's under each archive, and find the ones where we talk about creating and dominating new markets, how small business owners can develop markets for themselves. And I really encourage you to do that, because I consider those, Peter, to be some of the most important archives that we have in our library.
Thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say that. It's been a pleasure creating those archives.
Well, small business owners need that, don't they? I mean, they need to believe that they can do this, that in the 21st century they can actually dominate in the marketplace.
Yes.
And I just think we need to know more about that. Get up on our hind legs and you know, raise up a little bit and let people know that we're here. We have that ability. The question is will we do it? And you've helped us with that. All right. Now, we're going to talk about something different today, though. One of the things that Peter wants to talk to us about today is are what I call the leaks in the ship of our business. Now, there are resources that are going overboard, that are going out through the hull, that are being washed over, that we get all worked up about, we worry about, we lock our doors so people can't steal our stuff, we have internet security so we don't, you know, nobody gets in and gets stuff that we don't want them to have, et cetera, et cetera. But there are other leaks that we don't always see, and sometimes, Peter, they're just as expensive and harmful, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The real thing is that we sometimes are securing the wrong things, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So give us an example of what are some of the things that other things that we might not notice that we need to be protecting.
Well, let's take a step back and figure out what are the most important resources that we have. And if you think about this for a little while, most people who run companies, large and small, will come up with pretty much the same list of resources. You've got money, you've got people, you've got time,
mm-hmm.
and everything else fits in there someplace, either money, people, or time.
Right. They're subcategories.
They're subcategories. And most of the time, I've talked to maybe 1,000 or 1,100 management teams or owners, and I ask people all the time, if you were to prioritize this, money, people, time, how would you prioritize them? And the vast majority of middle managers people who are focused on running part of the organization will choose to put people first, time second, and money third. Now, if it takes a bit of reflection, you come up with that answer, which, by the way, is not what the owners tend to use,
mm-hmm.
come up with that answer, then it says that if I'm taking my money, my time and my people to protect my money, I'm reversing the sequence. And that's an interesting thing to do, to say the least important thing is the one I spend the most time protecting.
Hmm.
Well, why would I do that? There's no good answer for that. We do it out of habit. We do it because that's what we expect ourselves to do. But it isn't necessarily the right thing. If we really want to work this correctly, money is the third thing.
Money's third?
Yeah.
What's second?
Second would be, in this list, if you're doing this list, people, and uh-huh. first would be...
Be time. All right, we're going to talk about this some more, folks. Fascinating stuff, as always, from our good friend Peter Meyer. He and I will be right back. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Peter Meyer. He's going to help us find those leaks that we might be missing that might be costing us more than we think. More, some of these things that are might not be jumping out at us, some of the more obvious leaks in the ship of our business. And Peter, you were talking about the three resources, money, people, and time, and you were helping us make sure that we had those in the right priority. And you said most managers focused on, was it people. Time, and money?
Yes.
Those three. And you say they should do it the other way around?
Well, a different sequence. Now, remember okay. that you may have more leaks in any one ship than you have time to fix. You fix the big ones and get the other ones later.
Well, how about the low-hanging fruit, the ones that you can do quickly, immediately, even if they're big or little?
Well, you can do that, but if you do a lot of low-hanging fruit and miss a big one, then you've got great flavor in your mouth and you're still sunk.
Okay. All right. So give us the correct order again.
So the correct order, according to the people who own businesses that I talked to, is time is first, people is second, money is third. And let me explain why. If you're running low on money, there's lots of ways to get money. You can
right.
sell something. You can steal from a budget. You can go out and get some financing somehow. Those things take a little bit of time.
A new piece of business could drop into your lap. That's happened before.
It does indeed happen.
Right. So that could happen. Go ahead.
Right. So you can get money. Now, if you make a people mistake, whether it's an employee or a vendor or somebody you rely on, that is a that's much harder to fix. If you make a bad decision about a supplier, the person is the supplier, to fix it can take you a long time. But first you have to come to the conclusion it's right or wrong, then you have to go make the adjustments. It's a complicated process to change people out.
Right.
Now, the one thing that, if you look at your average 90-hour work week for small businesses, that was a joke, Jim.
Yeah, right.
Right, 90 hours. Okay. So at the end of 90 hours, if you wasted an hour in that week someplace, you can't get it back.
Yeah. We haven't figured out how to synthesize time, have we?
We've not. Now, if you ask C. Michael Armstrong what happened at AT&T when he tried to build it into this sort of giant corporation that had mm-hmm. cable and cellular and
right.
regular phone, he said that what failed, he ran out of time. Not money, not people, it ran out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm looking at where my leaks are and I'm plugging money leaks, that's not a bad thing to do. That could be low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nowhere near as important as plugging time leaks.
Well, how do we do that? How do we find the low-hanging fruit in the time leaks?
First thing to do is to, if you're not already doing it, is to track what you do with your time. Now, of course, that takes time. It's an investment. But
that's not easy to do, is it?
It's not. And that's why it's important.
And it's also can be a little painful because we start seeing how much time we waste. And that hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, but not as much as going out of business.
That's true. No, you're right about that.
So if you simply track what you do with a day for a full week, for 5 days, in quarter-hour increments and then take a look at it, you'll be really surprised. Most of us will be really surprised. Now, we don't think, oh, I'm different. I'm an exception. Good. Be the exception. Try it and prove me wrong. But it's worth the investment to prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. Or, worse, find out that you were wrong and I was right. This is something that is that almost every executive does and gets really scared.
Right.
And then they fix it. Then they fix it. And then everything's better again. But the very best executives do this on a regular basis. They use a piece of paper or they use software or whatever. They simply track what they did in 15-minute increments. And at the end of the week, they say, oh, my God. Or, oh, good.
Yeah.
But unless you track it, you don't know whether it's, oh, my God.
And then they start thinking about all their people, the extension of themselves, of the people who work with them, and they start realizing how much time the company is wasting.
Hmm.
And that's scary.
So you see it in yourself, you can't see it elsewhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Once more, you have no credibility if you don't see
mm-hmm.
it.
All right, what's next?
I think if you do that analysis, the leaks you're going to plug are going to be time leaks. Then you start plugging in with your people and helping them plug it.
Right.
And then the money starts to accumulate because you aren't wasting it.
Are you going to find time thieves when you do this? Isn't that one of the big things you're going to find are the time thieves? Because sometimes it's not so much that we're being cavalier or reckless or you know, spendthrift with our time. It's that we allow other things or people to steal our time.
Let me quote one of my favorite authors who told us in an email recently that if you take a brand-new computer and you throw it in the dumpster, right, folks, I'm quoting Jim, you throw it in the dumpster, that's a crime. You know, brand-new computer in the dumpster is a crime. But if I spend 10 or 20 hours putting together a bid for a customer who's not going to buy, that's normal business? What's the difference? You absolutely have to look at it when you deal with customers. Are these customers who I really am going to sell, or am I throwing a computer in the dumpster every time mm-hmm. I talk to this customer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing how we justify spending our time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how we fool ourselves. We literally fool ourselves about how we spend our time, don't we?
Nobody can fool us like ourselves.
Yeah. I'm the best at it.
No, I am.
All right, what's next?
If once you decide that you're going to take care of the time leaks, then, of course, the people leaks become really obvious because some people can't deal with this, and you have to start, you know, your vendor or your employee.
Right.
Have to start helping them or replacing them over time.
That's when you find out who can take you to the finish line, right? Who can get
exactly
you
right.
Who can get you into the winner's circle. And once you start putting that kind of responsibility, that kind of requirement on them, you'll find out who the real players are and who the people are who have to go.
Let's talk more about that after the break.
Exactly. We'll do that right after these messages. It's 10 Till. We'll be right back with our good friend Peter Meyer. He's the author of Warp Speed Growth and one of my favorite books on the planet, Creating and Dominating New Markets. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Peter Meyer is our good friend and our guest this half hour. Peter, give us your website, please.
Oh, why would creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com.
All right.
Creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com.
Which is the title of one of his books. And where can they find the books there as well?
Of course they can. Just click on the book and you can order from there. If you want a signed copy, send me an email.
You're going to want a signed copy, folks, so do that.
Be worth at least 25 cents someday.
In 100 years, it'll be worth at least a quarter. No question about it. That's what I tell people all the time. So creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com is an outstanding site, folks. I encourage you to go there.
You can also get it at Amazon.com or your bookstore. Go to the bookstore.
Wherever books are sold. Warp Speed Growth is one of Peter's outstanding books, and the other one is Creating and Dominating New Markets. When's your new book coming out?
Oh, I don't know. I'm always working on a new book. I'm not sure when this one's going to come out.
Well, we can't wait. Okay, we're talking about saving our most valuable assets, our most valuable resources, time, people, and money. And what's the next topic?
Well, now, you were talking about people when we went to the break. And let me go back to that for a second. Once you realize that time is so important, it's easy to discover there are people who simply waste your time, whether they be employees or whether they be vendors, whether they be customers. And then you have to make the decision. I like this person, or they deliver a good product, or they buy from me occasionally, is it worth the time investment that I have to go through to make that happen? And you may wind up firing not only employees, or maybe replacing them, but also replacing customers with ones who are more time efficient. And the best run small companies keep their customer base focused on the ones who are time efficient for them, so they can get more stuff done and more revenue per customer.
Isn't that going to require maybe that we fire some customers?
It is a great idea.
Well, but that's not easy to do, though, is it? I mean, look, Peter, we work so hard to get these people to like us. We work so hard to get these people. And some of these people that you're going to want us to fire, they were our bread and butter a year ago, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And just because they're not quite as efficient as they used to be, you really want us to fire them?
Only if you want to improve your business.
Okay.
You kind of have a choice here.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of customers who will grow with you, but if your business is growing and improving and you're getting better and the customer is falling into the background,
mm-hmm.
when you drive a car, Jim, do you spend more time looking out the big front window or in that little rearview mirror?
Probably more the big front window, yeah.
And how many of us run our businesses spending too much time looking in the rearview mirror?
Right. And you know what else happens, Peter? I think this happens in small businesses. I think this is where some of our inefficiencies come from. You know yourself, when your business was brand spanking new, you did a whole lot more for your customers, for that first customer you had and that second customer you had. You gave them unbelievable value because you didn't have anything else to do. And those people were important to you. Now that your business has grown, you got lots of folks to work with. You want to give those people who've come to expect all that extra service, you want to give it to them, but you just can't do it, can you?
And you know, the loyalty from 5 or 10 years ago, or even 5 or 10 months ago, is different than loyalty of your larger customers today.
Mm-hmm.
You have to honor the today ahead of yesterday.
Right.
You can't drive looking in the rearview mirror.
All right, what's next?
Well, once you've taken care of time, people, money tends to take care of itself pretty much at that point, because the taking care of time tends to put the investments in the right place, and the money tends to flow from that.
Right.
Taking care of people, you don't waste as much time or as much money. All of a sudden, you have additional cash. So I find that for most of the people I talk to, the money problems start to evaporate when they take care of time and people.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next is go back to time.
Mm-hmm.
Repeat the cycle. Never stop.
And extend it to your extension. Extend it to your reports. Extend it to your people.
Absolutely. The people who you rely on, whether they be employees or vendors or partners.
Or customers.
Especially
this is where customers need training on how to help you save time.
And maybe you want to help them save time. So let's
right.
take it to the next, as before that we've finished, the
yeah.
most important point. If our customers have the same attitude about this that we do, and they do, why would we go to them and sell cost savings, number 3 on the list, instead of selling time savings?
Right.
And so if we can offer to help them save time, isn't that worth more than saving money?
And now, instead of selling them our product, which we're selling them, but we and which they could also get anywhere else, we start helping them do some things that nobody else has offered them lately, and that is our product and time.
Yes.
How about that? Hey, Peter, I feel a lot smarter. Thank you for being here today.
You're so smart to begin with. Thank you.
But
I'm
always smarter when you join us, and I know my audience feels the same way. Thanks for being here. Good job today, and thanks for all you do for us. Peter Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.